right? Take it home. Amen. Well, let's jump into God's Word and see what He has for us this morning. I think you'll be encouraged and hopefully a little bit relieved in some ways. We're talking about boldness, which is kind of a scary topic to some people. You think about having to be bold with the gospel, man. Somebody's going to ask me to share and go out and stand on a street corner and witness to people or something, and that could be pretty scary. In fact, I know a youth summit a few years ago, some people went to it and came back with that understanding that, wow, they made us go out and street witness, and it was just overwhelming. And it can be. But I want to give you some relief this morning, but also point you in the right direction so that we get the same results, that we're still impacting people with the kingdom of God and the gospel, and yet we're still able to allow the God to actually do these things through us. But let's start with some prayer this morning. Father, we're grateful to be here in your presence. We're grateful to be here with your people, Lord, your beautiful people that you have created in your image. And Lord, we're just going through life together, Lord, and we're grateful to be in have an opportunity like this to be able to learn of you, to grow in our faith, and be encouraged, Father, with sharing the gospel in a way that it penetrates hearts, in a way that makes the most difference in our community and in our own lives and our families. And that, Lord, that you are the one that gets the glory for it in the end, Lord. We're just taking people with us on our route with you to heaven. And so, Father, we're praising you for it. Thank you for this great word today. In Jesus' name, from your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So talk about boldness. Boldness, I called it boldness 2, and you guys are like, I don't have a boldness 1. Last week, last week was actually called the persecuted church. Okay, and I talked about persecution in the body of Christ and what that has been and kind of what it does. Persecution, when people are cutting you down for the name of Jesus, it actually propels the gospel in the Bible. When you read about it, and the more that the kings or Caesar, whoever, tried to snuff out the gospel, the more that it spread it. Okay, because people are like, oh, we must be on to something, right? And so the gospel would spread. So that was pretty much last week, but that's kind of a lead-in, because that's one of the main reasons that people don't share the gospel, is they're afraid of persecution. Whether outwardly, that people don't want, you know, people calling them names or looking down on them, or just that subtle shunning, that subtle, you're not included in the birthday party invite kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's that little subtle persecution, and even that is enough to kind of steer people down the road where I'm not real willing to be vocal and share about my faith and the gospel. So one of the things with boldness, it's often considered to be a key missing ingredient, okay, in the gospel or in the life of the believer. I read a book as a young Christian that was called just that. It was called Boldness, the Missing Ingredient. And it was by a guy named Steve Muncy. Okay, and I currently cannot find my copy. It was just a little thin, kind of a purplish paperback. If anybody's, I borrowed it to you. Now's the time. No, give it back. But anyway, that little book by Steve Muncy, it was called Boldness, the Missing Ingredient. I looked it up online because I couldn't find my copy, and I thought, well, I'll just order another one. They're probably $6.99 or something. The cheapest one I could find was almost $35. So apparently they're scarce, okay, or they're kind of hard to find. But that book, as a young believer, I'm talking a couple years into my faith, it rocked my world, okay, and it showed me something. And for a guy like me, I was a little, you know, I know some people might say a little more extroverted. I don't mind talking to people, but it kind of launched me into this everybody needs to be bold with the gospel mentality. Okay, and I'll explain more on that in a minute. A guy named Jesse Duplantis, some of you may have heard of him. He's kind of a well-known preacher, but he's also got kind of a comedy sense to it sometimes. And he put out a very funny and yet powerful sermon series called Boldness, the Forgotten Ingredient. Okay, and so it has to do with the body of Christ and what we're talking about today. But what I have learned over the years is that the ingredient, if you want to call it the missing ingredient or the forgotten ingredient, that ingredient of boldness is a lot like nuts in a brownie mix. Okay, and what I mean by that is some people like nuts in their brownies and some people don't. The people that don't like nuts in their brownies simply don't put the nuts in the brownies, right? You can make brownies without nuts, right? I'm not a nut guy, so my wife, if she would, and she doesn't really do it, but if she bought a box of brownie mix and it came with nuts, she would have set the nuts off to the side and not include them in there, right? Because if you don't like nuts, you don't have to include the nuts, right? Well, boldness can be a pretty scary characteristic for some people, so they simply choose not to include it in their walk with God. Okay, they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're walking with God. They may be a little on the shy side. They might be more timid or more introverted. And maybe just being, you know, pretty secure in their comfort zone, they really don't want to add nuts and get out of their comfort zone. To do that, to change that mindset and to be really bold with the gospel, for some people it's like asking them to go bungee jumping off the Empire State Building. Okay? Some of you guys would like, I'd do that. Okay? But many people would say, no way. I'm not jumping off the Empire State Building, whether I got a cord attached to me or not. Okay? So again, some people would do that and some people would not. And if they're not interested, that's not the way they want to do. They simply choose not to include that ingredient, okay, that boldness ingredient. When I was still pretty young in the Lord, my pastor and his wife were going to be out of town for a week. And so they were going to miss that middle of the week service. And so he was debating canceling it. Well, being a kind of a young, eager, novice Christian that I was like, I'll do it, Pastor. I'll do it. And kind of pushed and pushed until he finally said, okay, you can do it, right? And so I thought, oh, great. I get my opportunity. The first one to teach, you know, we had it at people's houses. And we went over to this family's house. And I thought, man, I'm going to teach the one thing that everybody needs in the body of Christ. And that's boldness. And so I went and I shared this message. And to me, it was a very powerful, you know, presentation on why everybody needed boldness. You've got to be bold and got to be sharing the gospel. And what should have been maybe a 30-minute motivational Bible study turned into a two-and-a-half-hour debate on the gospel and whether how to go about sharing and all these things. And it stirred things up so bad that people were literally talking about that Bible study several months later. Like, remember that Bible study Gilbert taught? You know, and it was kind of in a not such a positive way. And if my memory serves me right, I think I got one of those special calls from the pastor, okay, when he got back that was like, you know, some of the people, apparently, he was wondering what I had taught that stirred the people up so much, but it seems that being told that we all must be bold, okay, struck a chord of fear in some of the more timid folks. And they called the pastor to complain about the boldness of my message, okay, that I was not allowing people to be people. I was, you know, telling them they must be a certain way. I have since learned, though, that there is much more to being bold in the kingdom of God than confronting every person you meet with a turn or burn message, okay, and then thumping them over the head. I still use this big, thick Bible because it thumps really hard on people's head. But rather than have that as the constant message, that turn or burn and then thump them a couple times so they get the point, I've learned that there's a better way to go about it. And I think what we'll do this morning, I want to look at the scriptures and see some of the things that some of the disciples did that allowed for all believers to participate in the sharing of the gospel, whether they considered themselves to be great and confident and extroverted, bold preachers or not. Okay, so everybody would have a part in it. Okay, Peter and John, for example, asked simply for their brothers and sisters to pray for them to have more boldness. Okay, they were guys that kind of liked the nuts and they wanted more nuts. Okay, and that ingredient to them was not scary. It was like, give me more, man, I love nuts. Okay, and so they asked for prayers for boldness. They were willing to be outwardly bold no matter what it cost them. Okay, and we see that a lot of the disciples. Now this is, you know, the guys we read about, 12, 15 guys in here in the New Testament, that's a handful of guys compared to the masses of the body of Christ. Now in this body, again, I'd say there are some people that are extroverted, bold with the gospel, got no problem walking up to a stranger on the street and say, man, you need Jesus. Okay, and telling them and sharing the gospel and opening the Bible. Some people are very comfortable doing that. There are some in our midst that are like that. There's also a lot of people that we don't read about in the Bible necessarily, but they also shared the gospel in a different way. Okay, and I just want to point out these guys because they were those extroverted guys. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. We'll start out with these with about three verses here. Acts 4, 29. He said, and now they had been persecuted and you know, punished for it, and these guys, rather than let it snuff them out, they got bolder. They wanted even more boldness. So he says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They had threatened to beat them or put them away. He said, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken together, shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Okay? Now, there is a tremendous amount of spiritual truth in this passage. Okay, several things. Just for today, I just want to touch briefly on a couple of them because I want to help build the foundation of true Christian boldness. Okay, first thing we see in this is kind of like we talked about last week with the persecuted church. That persecution is exactly what caused them to ask for prayer for even more boldness. Okay, it didn't snuff out their faith, in other words. It didn't make them not want to share. It's like, we must be on to something. Okay, and that's where, if you remember, nothing helps narrow your faith down to what really matters more than being judged according to and because of your faith in Jesus. Okay, it narrows your life down. What do I stand for? What do I believe? Okay, and when you get to that point, you're being persecuted, you have to try to defend what you believe or you succumb to it. Most believers, if they've got Jesus in their heart, they are going to defend the gospel. Okay, they know deep down that at their core, heaven and hell issue, heaven is where I'm going because of Jesus. And they have enough that they will at least begin to defend along that line. Persecution is not a sign to let up. It's a sign to dig your heels into your faith even deeper. Okay, it's a sign that you're on the right track. Okay, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, Jesus said the day's coming. They'll call you into the synagogues, into the places of worship and accuse you of being against God, even though you're standing for the truth in Christ. Okay, the second thing that we see from this passage is that you see that their prayer for boldness was not just so they could preach better. Okay, it was an asking for a boldness to walk in their God-given delegated authority. Okay, they wanted to walk in this power, in this anointing, in this covering that Jesus had given unto them to go and to preach the gospel. Because Jesus had said to these guys the same as he has said to us, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He said that as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, these guys prayed that the signs and the wonders and the miracles of God would manifest through their hands so that people would be drawn to Jesus. Okay, so often when we think about boldness, okay, and being bold with the gospel, people think that for starters that it's they that must be the bold ones. Okay, and that boldness means that they're going to have to be a bold, vocal preacher, confrontational, stand up and share the gospel to people you've never met before. But when the power of God is manifesting through your life, like these guys are praying, let the signs of your holy son, Jesus, let them come through us. Okay, when the power of God is coming through them, when it's manifesting through you, oftentimes, no words are even necessary to preach the gospel. Okay, it is a powerful, powerful tool that God gave to the church for people coming to know Jesus. I know some of the TV evangelists have given evangelism a bad name and all that, but there are some good ones out there. And they still, to this day, almost always associate evangelism and the miracles and signs and wonders of God. Okay, people are coming and getting healed. People are getting delivered of stuff. They've been bound up for years. People stand up out of wheelchairs or whatever. It happens in the body of Christ because that message to an unbeliever is, there's a power here that is bigger than me. There's a power here that maybe I want to tap into. And so people are willing to then come and to receive of the gospel at that time. So that's something that I see in this, that they were praying not just to be bold preachers, that came, but they were praying that the signs and wonders would be there, that would manifest through their life. Okay, and I think that means that you can and you should pray for the miraculous to manifest in your midst. Okay, and I say it that way because maybe it's not going to be even through your hand, but you're praying for it to manifest in your midst. Maybe there's somebody in your life that, you know, they are walking in that anointing and they've got a healing ministry or they've got something going on. And so you're talking to them and you're praying for them that God would manifest through them. You're still participating. You're still praying and praying for that anointing to manifest and for it to be there. Okay, so even if you're not willing to walk in the supernatural, okay, healing and prophesying and such, then pray for those around you who are willing. Okay, I'll just tell you right now, you can pray for me, that I'm willing. Okay, but I want it to be real. I don't want to fake it. I don't want it, when I pray for people, I want it to be the real prayer of faith that helps save and heal the sick. Okay, and so pray for that anointing on me. Okay, or pray for that anointing on your brother, your sister, your friend, your spouse, whoever it is. That, you know what, they're interested, they're okay with that, they're walking and wanting to walk in it, then pray for that to happen in their life. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Okay, remember Jesus said that, right? He said, pray the Lord that he will send laborers into the harvest, for the fields are white, they're ripe, they're ready for the harvest. Maybe you're not the guy that will go harvest it, but you can pray for the guy that's going to harvest it. Okay, you can pray for the guy, that laborer that's going into that person's life. Okay, and that's what I'm saying, that you can participate being bold by praying for those other guys to be bold. Okay, pray for them to stand up and to do what needs to be done. Okay, you know each other in the body. That's part of why we do that little fellowship thing we do and get our coffee and all that. I enjoy that fellowship because people are getting to know each other. You're finding out where people are at, maybe in their walk with God. But you can pray then for those who are more vocal, those who maybe have the desire to have those kind of evangelistic encounters. Pray for more of those. Pray for that opportunity for them. Pray that they have the right words to speak at that moment, that God will help them penetrate hearts and bring people to Jesus. You know, the scripture that we read in Acts 4:29. It said that, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay, the third part of this passage in Acts is that when they prayed for boldness, it came in the form of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, who then caused them to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay, some of you guys remember from the Go Deeper Bible class, but the definition of some of these things that we're talking about, one of them is the Holy Spirit empowers for Christian witness and service. It is the empowerment that we need is through the Holy Spirit. To walk in the miraculous of the boldness, okay, or these kind of things, you must pick up your feet off the bottom of the Holy Ghost river and go with the flow of where he's taking you. Okay? The Holy Spirit will lead you. And when the Holy Ghost is leading you, he's working in you, he's working through you, it is all but impossible to hold back the boldness. Okay? It will come through your life. Okay, he is the one that does the things, and we just simply allow him to do those things. See, if we put the pressure on ourselves to be bold, okay, if we make ourselves, we're going to force ourselves to go beyond our flesh comfort zone, okay, and we're going to force ourselves to do it, it can be pretty intimidating. Okay, I've done it, made myself, I remember times when I've just forced myself to go out street witnessing or handing out tracts or going door to door, those kind of things. And at times it was easy. It depends on kind of who you're with and what the anointing is. But there were times where I was forcing myself. I watched an evangelist, just a short clip, about 6 or 7 minutes. I thought about showing it this morning, but one of the things he said, he was world famous, but one of the things he said is that when he was en route to like an abortion clinic, and he's going to go and he's going to preach, he said, "I didn't want to go." He said, "I just want to turn around. I do not many times even want to go." He said, "It's not that I don't love the people, but," he said, "they're going to yell at me. They're going to cuss me out. They're going to get in my face. I'm going to get probably thrown off the property." And he said, "All this is flesh intimidation kind of stuff." And even for a guy like that, that's what he did for a living. Even he was intimidated to go street witnessing. Okay? So if you remember, you know, if you think about that pressure that we put on ourselves to be bold, it can be intimidating. Some people really just even cringe at the thought of having to go up and share the gospel with somebody face to face. Okay, other people, even like kind of like I'm describing, but they have been guilted into it. Okay, guilted into going to do it. You must do this. Okay, and they're well-intentioned preachers. I'm going to say that this is kind of what I did with that first Bible study. I went with the attitude that you must do this. People are perishing. Your friends and family need this. You've got to share the gospel. And went with that thing that, you know what, I'm going to intimidate you until you go out and share the gospel like I know the Bible says we're supposed to. Okay? And so you can be kind of guilted into it by that kind of a condescending message that people will come and tell you, like I did, you're called to do this by God. He wants you to do this. And if you don't do this, you're a bad Christian. Okay, you're not a good Christian believer. Okay, I'm not saying that's a good message. I'm tattling on myself. It's many, many years ago. But that message intimidates people. And you might be able to get people to go out and preach once in a while. But it's hard on people. Okay, it's so much easier if you let the Holy Spirit lead you. When you feel led to go sit and talk to some guy on a park bench, when you feel led by the Holy Spirit that says, you know what, that person just needs, you know, somebody to help them pay for their groceries, that guy standing in line behind you, and you know what, man, Jesus loves you, he just told me I wanted to buy your meal today, I wanted to help you out today, and you feel led to do that by the Holy Spirit, how easy is that? Okay, how much easier is that to let the Holy Spirit be bold through you, because he knows who to talk to. He knows what to say and all those things. So how much easier is that if we just let him do it? Okay, so take some of that pressure off of yourself to perform for God and simply focus on letting the Holy Spirit have free reign in your life. Okay, allow him to be the one that does these things through you. Many places in the scripture talk about the spirit of boldness. The Holy Spirit, that when he came on them, they spake boldly the word of God. Okay, he is there for Christian empowerment for service and witnessing. That's what he came to us for. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit for that. Now the Apostle Paul, I need to finish this up. The Apostle Paul is one of the boldest believers in world history, in my mind. This guy went before kings and priests and whoever. Didn't matter, he was going to share the gospel. So I studied his ways, and I made some interesting observations about the way that he went about expanding the kingdom. Okay, now he was a bold preacher. He knew, he was taught in the law, man. He could use the law to lead a Jew to Christ, or he actually went to the Gentiles because the Jews were getting mad at him and refuting what he was saying. He said, "Fine, I'm going to the Gentiles," and so he did for a while, and you know, but he went to different people. He's the guy that said, "I became all things to all people that I therefore may win some." Okay, he learned how to deal with people on their level. He learned how to work with people rather than thumping them over the head with a Bible all the time. He learned ways to be able to minister unto them. Well, one of the things that I noticed about him was that he was willing to share the gospel and to teach those that would listen, but he wasn't a fool in thinking that they all would receive it exactly the same way. He understood that some people were not going to receive at that time. Okay, in Acts chapter 17, there's a good example, the first four verses. Paul goes into the synagogue to preach the gospel like he usually does. He just got to Macedonia, and that's where he's going to, or Thessalonica, I'm sorry, and that's where he's going to preach the gospel. Verse 17:1 says, "When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging, is there another verse there? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. And some of them believed, and they consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. In other words, some people believed the gospel. He preached it, shared to them that this is what Jesus said he was going to have to do, this is what he did, and some people were persuaded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like it happens for us today, when you're sharing something with somebody that shakes the core of what people believe, there was a lot of people that chose to refute the gospel message. They didn't agree with it. It wasn't the keeping of the law that they had been taught. It wasn't the worship of the false god that they had learned and been taught. Okay? And so the unbelieving Jews, in this case, got extremely jealous. They knew that people were believing this message that Paul was preaching about the Christ, the anointed one, being here. And it stirred up, and they stirred up, the crowds and the chief administrators, the people, the authorities of the cities, to the point that Paul's brothers in the Lord sent him down the road to Berea. They said, we got to get Paul out of here. They're after him. Okay, I can imagine Paul, not that bad. Let me go back one more Sunday, you know. Let me go back one more time and preach the gospel. But his friends were of a different sort. They wanted Paul's safety more than Paul wanted his own safety. And so they said, we need to get him out of here. Okay, and look what happens when they send him. This is in Thessalonica, but look what happens when they send him down the road a little bit to a place called Berea. Okay, in verse 10 of chapter 17, it says, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were the Greek, which were Greeks, and of the men not a few. In other words, again, he goes and he shares the gospel, and many people came to Jesus. They learned that he was the Messiah. But my main observation out of this passage is in verse 11. Okay, and I want to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. It says that these people were more noble or open-minded than those in Thessalonica. So they received the message of salvation through the faith in the Christ with great eagerness. Now I ask you, wouldn't it be nice to share with people like that? Okay, wouldn't it be nice to share with people whose hearts had been softened and that they were eagerly willing and wanting to receive and to hear what you had to say? They were people that were hungry. They knew there was a Messiah coming. This guy's just coming to tell us about him. And so they bid him to stay with them and to teach them and to so that they could learn in their faith in Jesus. They were eagerly asking Paul about Jesus. Now, I ask you, isn't that the easiest way of leading somebody to Christ when they're hungry and they simply come to you with questions? Can you tell me about what kind of church you go to? Can you tell me about God? Wouldn't it be nice to share with those kind of people? So my question is, how did the folks in Berea get to this point? How did they get so their hearts were softened, so that they were open, so that they were willing and eager to learn about the Christ? How did they get to that point? Hey, I'm glad that you asked, because that is the most important and critical ingredient for boldness. And it is spiritual intercession and warfare to remove the blinders, to remove the blockages to the gospel. Okay, when prayer has been made to God for a community, like it had been for Berea, they will be more open to receive the word of God. Okay? Now this is coming from I don't want to call it deep revelation, but that's what it is in my heart. Rollins is a tough ground, man, and I've said that for years. I've been all over the country. We've been churches and planted churches and all that. But when you get to Rollins, it seemed like such a tough ground. Okay? But what I've learned and what I'm thinking and what I know now is that you got to pray more and more and more for that community to be open. Don't settle for it being closed to the gospel. Don't settle for people being independent and I don't need Jesus. Don't settle for that, but actually intercede on behalf of the community and say, Rollins, you are open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are willing to receive of what he has for you. Okay? Because they can, the people of Rollins can and will be prompted to start seeking and to start asking. Okay? Maybe they'll ask you. Maybe they'll ask somebody around you. Okay? Maybe they'll just be driving by the church some Sunday and feel led to pull into the parking lot. They don't really know why. Okay? But they come to church because they're beginning to seek. God is pulling and tugging on their hearts. Okay? Maybe they're going through a trial in their life and somebody like you has been praying for them. So they decide to pick up a Bible and read about what Jesus did for them. Okay, my friend, I've shared many times, he was about as far gone as you can get. He got saved by himself on his knees on a mountaintop in Italy with nothing but a New Testament Gideon's Bible. Okay, because somebody was praying for that man, and he found out later who it was in his life was praying for him, that he got saved. Myself, I live pretty hardcore. You guys know my story. Okay, I had an uncle that prayed for me. I didn't know it at the time. I just thought he was a preacher. Okay, he was a pastor, right? Former pastor. But he later shared that he had prayed for me. Okay, and at that critical time in my life, he happened to start working for the same company that I did. I had no clue what God was doing, but he had put my Uncle Tom in my midst to pray for Gary because I was pretty far gone. Okay, and it wasn't much longer after that I came to Jesus. Okay, people can and will come to Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, okay, and be glorified. So if you don't know what else to pray, pray that the word of the Lord has free course in Rollins. Pray that it has free course in your family. The word of the Lord, because it's out there. The Bible is readily available to every person out there right now. There's with the advent of technology, it's hard to miss it, okay? But we need to pray that word of the Lord has free course so that God can be glorified, okay? Pray for your community. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your families that God will penetrate their hearts, okay? That God will get past the defenses. God will get past the excuses. Oh, I need to go do this. I need to whatever. Pray that God gets past those excuses that they can't resist it anymore. They don't know why, but they just want to go to church today, okay? They don't know why, but they just want to call that friend. Okay, many, many times people have come to me over the years and said, can you just, I know you're like a man of faith. You know, I know you're religious. Okay, how many have heard that? I know you're one of them religious guys. You know, but I'm going through this. Why would God let that happen? Open door, wide open. Okay, pray that those things happen. I told you, I'd tell you about this guy. I had a phone call a couple weeks ago from a brother that used to go to church here, a beloved brother and his wife, and he's moved on. I think he's in North Dakota welding and doing that stuff now. But he calls me up here about once a year just to chat, just to see how things are going. And we got on this topic of sharing the gospel. And he relayed a message to me by, he had seen it or heard it from a guy named Kenneth Hagin, some of you might have heard of. But he said Kenneth Hagin had talked about, he's a preacher, and he said he had talked about sharing the gospel with people and how people would just close him off. He said there was one time, I think it was in an airplane, that he sat next and they're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm in real estate. What do you do? Oh, I'm a preacher. Right away, the walls went up. Oh, you know, okay, I'm sitting next to one of those guys. And then, of course, he says, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Would you like to know him more? You know, he begins doing what he does. And she's like, no, don't even want to talk about that stuff. Just, I got work to do. No thanks. Gets up, goes in the bathroom, gets down on his knees, which is kind of gross in an airplane bathroom. Prays, Lord, I pray that you remove the blinders from that woman's eyes so that she may see the gospel and hear it. Goes back and sits down next to her. Says, would you mind if I told you about Jesus? And a lady looks at him and says, sure, why not? Okay? That is the kind of thing that happens when you're praying for people. Okay, that was one example. He talked about a couple where he would try to share the gospel. People would be closed. He would just walk outside of the building, fall on his knees and say, God, open their eyes to the gospel so that they may see the truth of Jesus Christ. And then walk back into the room and they're like, yeah, I suppose you could preach to us. I suppose we'll hear you out. And they hear the gospel message and give their life to Jesus. Okay, now that sort of intercessory prayer is what I'm asking of you guys today. Okay, it's something that we need to pray for our people around us and in the community and our families. Okay, when that prophet the prophet Elisha, his servant at one point couldn't see into the spiritual realm. Okay, and Elisha simply steps back and he prays, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And instantly he was able to see into that spiritual realm. Okay, it's kind of like we talked about on Wednesday night, that we should come boldly unto God with our request, you know, not being afraid of God, not being afraid to make our request known unto Him. Okay, prayers to God for the lost in your home, in your community, in your nation. Okay, the kind of boldness that's going to make a huge impact in the kingdom of God is a boldness to come unto God. Okay, it's a boldness to approach God on behalf of the people around you. Pray for the people in Rollins. Pray that the city is open. Pray that there's unity among the brethren. Pray that the backbiting can be squelched. Pray that, you know, pray the prayers that help the community of the spiritual community of Rollins to be able to open up to the gospel. To simply pray for the eyes of their understanding to be open. You know, like the Apostle Paul, it said when he got born again, said there was, like the Bible describes it, as scales that fell from his eyes. Okay, he couldn't see. He was murdering Christians. He couldn't see. But then scales fell from his eyes, and instantly he gave his life to Jesus. Okay, so pray that. Pray that God send the laborers in. Pray that scales are removed from their eyes. Pray that their eyes and hearts are softened to the gospel so that they may open up to Jesus as Savior. You know, that is what I'm asking for boldness. Okay, that's not too scary. It's not too hard to come to a loving Heavenly Father and ask Him for something that is His will already. Okay, God said He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come unto the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So to pray that for people, of course God wants to answer that prayer, but He's waiting for you to name some names. Okay, call them out. Say, name that name. Okay, and lay them out there before God and make a request known boldly in the kingdom of God. God, I just pray for this person in the name of Jesus, that their eyes be opened, the scales be removed. Let them come to Jesus. Let them start asking questions. Let them know you. Okay? And God will begin that process of opening those eyes. Okay? For Paul, he went through a physical blinding first, where he was completely blinded in the natural, led by the hand, okay, kind of stuff to show him how blind he was in the natural. Okay, and then when the scales were removed, he was able to see perfectly what God wanted him to see. So whatever that process is for the people in your life, let's pray it happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, Father God, we're praising you this morning. Father, I know, Father, your kingdom is about growth and expansion. It's about seeing people come to know Jesus, taking away from the enemy, the devil, what he is trying to steal, and just taking people's lives back and saying, no, this one is going to heaven. This one is for God. This one's going to be saved in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray right now, I pray that you just recall or call to mind all the people in the lives, the names and particulars of people that people in this room can then pray for and believe for and look for, hoping with expectancy until we see them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. All our family members, the people that we care about, our coworkers, that guy that cut us off in traffic, whoever it is, Lord, that you will put those right words in our mouth to pray the prayer of faith, believing and trusting in you to answer these requests and to send the salvation unto their hearts, Lord, that they will begin to see and experience the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, we openly receive of you. We allow you and your Holy Spirit to take us places we've never been. And Lord, we allow you to do what you want to do through and in us. Lord, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen.